welcome once again to the Grace Hour. Here in Grace Hour Studios, we're here with Pastor Belly and myself, Pastor Ronaldo. We've been talking all week about how reliable is the Bible. We're in a generation these days that's unbibled and unchurched. So questions that were probably not asked maybe 50, 70 years ago are being asked today in this generation. How reliable is the Bible? And today we're talking about, can we build our life with the Bible? Please write in with your questions and comments. We'd love to hear your thoughts about the Bible and about this theme. You can email us at questions@gracehour.org. We're also live on gracehour.org. We're also live on YouTube Live and Facebook Live. You can reach us in podcasts on Apple, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, Audible, even iHeartRadio. You can reach us, podcasts. And we'd love you to call in today. We'd love to hear from you on this Friday. 1-800-338-7060, 1-800-338-7060, and locally at 410-483-3700. We'd love to hear you call in about the Bible. Can you build your life on the Bible? Have you built your life on the Bible? In this day in 2023, can people still build their lives on the Bible? Now, the answer may seem obvious to you, but in this generation, that question is being asked more and more. And we're going to begin with a scripture on John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
And what a start for a, is it afternoon? Morning here, but who knows where they're hearing this.
Somewhere in the world it's morning.
What a way to start out on a Grace Hour and the importance of, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We want to speak a little bit about eternal Word. In the beginning was the Word. Actually, the way this is in the Greek language doesn't mean like there was a beginning for the Word. The Word has always been and always will be. Mm-hmm. The Word is eternal. Forever, O Lord, thy Word is settled in heaven. Psalm 119, verse 89, 1 Peter 1, 21 through 23. And the Word is absolutely eternal, 1 John 1, 1 through 4. So we have an eternal Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And actually that reads in the Greek, logos, word, pros, theos, God. The Word was facing God. Mm. That really brings in a distinction for three persons of the Trinity. And when you have certain groups saying that that Jesus or, you know, there's no Son, and there's no Son of God, like the JWs and different people like that, that deny the deity of Christ. Mm-hmm. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was facing God. Mm-hmm. And then it says the Word was God, which actually means the Word absolutely is God. Mm-hmm. So you have eternal Word, you have relationship Word, and then you have living, active Word. And the Word was God. Right now, it's in the infinitive clause, and it means right now the Word is operating as God and always will be God. And what's the first thing the enemy wants to attack? The enemy, and that's Satan and the demons, using the old sin nature of man, because he cannot use the new man, and using the world system, which in 2 Corinthians 4:4 and in John 13, 14, and 15, he's the prince of this world or the god of this world. So the first thing he's going to do is attack the Word. Mm. What did he say to Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3? And by the way, this is interesting. Genesis chapters 1 and 2, it says, and God said, and God said, and God said, yes, and God said. 17 times it says, and God said. What's the first thing out of the enemy's mouth? Has God said?
Interesting.
Have God really said? And I love what the Hebrew says. Can it really be that God has said? He asks like a kind of a question. You know, he doesn't say, you know, God is not true, God didn't say, and God's word is not reliable. Right. He just said, can it really be that God has said, you know? And so here we have the enemy coming in to try to take away from the authority, the power, the effect, the eternal aspect of the word of God. And this is really interesting. And right away, right in Genesis, God speaks, and here comes the enemy. And you can see the same thing happening in the voice of the Father in Matthew 3, 16 and 17. This is what he says. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And what does the enemy say in Matthew 4 three times? If you're the Son.
Yes.
If, and you must do something to prove you are. is how that reads. Mm-hmm. If you're the son, do this. If you're the son, do that. If you're the son, do this. So he brings in this incredible question, if. Mm-hmm. The father's voice says, this is. Mm-hmm. And the enemy says, if. So he's, if he's attacking the word of God in Genesis 3, he attacks the living word of God in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4. Mm-hmm. What do you think is going to take place when it comes to the word of God in the church? Mm. Of course, if he came after the Adam and Eve in the beginning, creation, he comes after Jesus Christ. He's coming after man. He's coming after the church. And his attack is always going to be upon the word of God because of what the word of God stands for.
Sure.
He's coming against the word of God. So all the onslaughts, all the accusations, all the evil that is being manifest against the Bible has its source in the devil himself. You know, and by the way, one of the things that the devil would like you to think is he doesn't exist.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't exist, you know, or he's just like, you know, some evil influence or mm-hmm. something like that. But he does exist, and his attack is on Jesus Christ, who is the living word, and it continues to this day. Mm. But because many people do not understand this, they begin to say that the Bible is not reliable, that the Bible really, you know, it's a good book. It's nice to read. It's got a lot of good thoughts. But no, this is God's living word. Hebrews 4:12, and the word of God is alive. It's quick. It's powerful. This is what it is. It's living, mm-hmm. all right, alive and powerful and sharp, mm-hmm. okay, and pierces even to the dividing asunder of the joints and the marrow, the soul and the spirit. So what it is and what it does. There's three uh-huh. things that it is and four things that it does. And so that's so interesting. And so people, even Christians today, born again believers.
Yes.
And here's an interesting thing. You were born by the word of God, 1 Peter 1, 21-23. Yes, you're saved by grace. Mm-hmm. And yes, you're born of the spirit, John 3, 5-7. But you're also born of the word because grace gives you the word mm-hmm. and the word of God and the spirit are one. So we're born of the word of God. So if we're born of the word of God, how come people do not want to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God? Mm-hmm. Why? Because they've been influenced by the God of this world. Religions have been influenced. Mm-hmm. Born again believers have been influenced. I know I've met believers and I know believers, they've been saved for years and they spend 5 minutes a week on the Bible.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. I mean, 5 minutes a week on the Bible? I can think of other things that people spend 5 minutes a week doing. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. 5 minutes a week, or will they listen to the Bible if they go to church? And by the way, does the church preach the Bible? Does the church preach, teach with the Bible where they can reach the world with the word of God? Is the church a foundation? Is it reliable? Well, if a church is not based upon the foundation of the Bible, it is absolutely unreliable. If you go to a church and all it is music mm-hmm. and miracles mm-hmm. and prayer and advertisements and political jargon, you're not going to a church. You're going to an assembly of Satan. Sorry about that. Mm. See, I don't like that today. That's a little bit strong. You know what? A church that's not based upon the scriptures is not based upon God. And if it's not based upon God, what is it based upon then? Oh, just some human reason or some good things? Mm-hmm. No. The enemy wants to steal the word. He comes to steal mm-hmm. the word, steal, kill the spirit's influence, and destroy rewards and fruit. Steal, kill, and destroy. And this is so important. We must realize this more than ever, that the Bible can be relied upon. The Bible is the absolute word of God. It is God's word. And that is so key. And man shall not live by bread alone, that which can sustain him naturally, but by every word. How many words?
Every word
that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And this is so key. That's why there's an attack against it. That's why there's an onslaught there. That's why there's so many different languages around the world that don't even have a Bible in their language.
Yes.
They don't even have a Bible in their language. They can't even read the Bible if they wanted to. We in America and in Europe and different places, we have many Bibles. They can just sit in somebody's living room and they're used to hold up the fish tank or something.
Well, usually it's on the end table.
It's on the end table. But does anybody open up the scriptures?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, Jesus, you know, they're asking him, you know, on the way to Emmaus in Luke 24, And they're talking to the living Word of God.
Yes.
And they did not understand the Scriptures. They did not understand the Word. And Jesus would say to them, like, haven't you known? Haven't you read? He said it to religious people.
Yes.
Have you not known? Have you not heard? And that the Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And you do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. Matthew 22:29. You are living in error. It's error. Anti-Trinity is error.
Mm-hmm.
Being filled with the Spirit, the evidence of speaking in tongues, that's error.
Mm-hmm.
Jehovah Witnesses, error. Huh? Are you Seventh-day Adventists,
yep.
Error. This is error. How they believe you can be saved and how they believe you can grow. There's so much error out there. Orthodox churches that are not born again, that don't even use the Bible, that's error. Nothing sure. But error, you know? And that this is so important to understand.
Yeah,
otherwise, your life can go upside down.
And that's the key. It's like you mentioned earlier, can I build my life on my life in the Bible? And you hit it two ways there. On the one end, there is a move outside the church to challenge the, I'm going to use a different word, the authority of the Scriptures. Because the ultimate concern when you talk about the Bible today is the authority of the Bible. Roughly 75 years ago, Neo-Orthodoxy came out. Karl Barth and his boys, they began to say that the Bible contains the truth of God, but it is not the truth of God. They attacked the veracity of the Bible. They attacked the authority of the Bible. And when you talk to people, and this is why I think a lot of people don't accept the Bible as an authority in their life, is because they question the authority of the Scriptures. Is the Bible the Bible? And or this is what I hear a lot too, Pastor. Let me ask you this one. The book of the Vedas, the Quran, the Book of Mormon, Nietzsche, for all these different guys in these books that have been written, they also claim to have an authority. So what gives the Bible the authority over all these writings?
Very simple. Look at all the prophecies that have come true. Look at how the Word of God is absolutely personal and practical in a person's life.
Mm-hmm.
The other books are nothing but error.
Yes.
You do err. Those are error. And by the way, the enemy is the author of books contrary to the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Where you have religious systems that are not based upon Jesus Christ
mm-hmm.
is the Quran and the books that the Buddhists use.
Yes.
I forget the name of it.
The Vedas, yeah.
Yeah. Are they based upon the person of Christ and the work of the cross? Are they based upon the Word of God?
Mm-hmm.
Do they
mm-hmm.
claim to even be the Word of God? There's a good question. Sometimes they do and sometimes they do not even claim it.
Mm-hmm.
So what sets the Word of God apart is look at it. The Word of God. Thousands of years.
Yes.
Genesis. The things that are said in Genesis are absolutely true today.
Yep.
The things that are said in Proverbs, hundreds and thousands of years ago, we see these truths in reality in people's lives. How to raise children, the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? How to have a good marriage, the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really, how to live in this evil world, the Bible.
Yes.
And you know that the enemy, by the way, the enemy doesn't hate those other books.
Uh-huh.
He hates the Bible. He actually promotes the other books.
Yes.
So they will somehow be used as a weapon against the Bible, the truth of the Word of God. You say, you people are narrow-minded. Well, come back on a spaceship and see how many orbits you can enter. See how many, you just try something outside of the right orbit and you're blown sky high. There's an exact way that you have to enter back into the Earth's atmosphere.
Yes.
There's no other way other than this one way.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said, I am the way.
Yes.
Oh, what's the second one? The truth,
uh-huh.
the Bible, and the life.
Mm.
The way to the truth being seen in our lives and in the life of Christ, the Word of God, and it's under assault.
Mm-hmm.
It's under assault by intellectuals who are actually idiots. Intellectuals.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's under assault by all kinds of religious systems.
Mm-hmm.
It's under assault by common man. It's under assault by humanism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, universities used to be founded on the Bible. When you go back, Harvard, Yale, and Brown, and mm-hmm. Colgate, and mm-hmm. all those Ivy League schools that were the beginning of education in America, they were all based upon the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, unless you go to Bible school, you're not going to find anybody opening up a Bible unless they're going to criticize it when you go to secular school.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I went to secular school. I think I went to five universities, and I became a more clever devil than I ever was by going to those universities.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you can't go. God could use it to send you to be a doctor
mm-hmm.
or a dentist or whatever. But really interesting. And, you know, we ran a counseling center for years, my brother and I, in Springfield, called the Lighthouse Counseling Center. And all we did was use the Bible. You were a neurotic, we used the Bible. You were a psychotic, we used the Bible.
Wow.
You were a drug addict, we used the Bible. You were an alcoholic, we used the Bible. You had a bad marriage, we used the Bible. Hmm. You thought homosexual lifestyle was okay, we used the Bible to say it wasn't. Hmm. You know, it was the Bible, the Bible, the Bible, the Bible, the Bible. And that was it. And if you didn't like it, find yourself something else. And by the way, we didn't charge money. It was free.
Well,
scriptures.
I like the way you said that you hit the nail on the head. Why is the Bible have more authority than all those other books? And you hit it on the head. Prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting is that all those books don't have prophecy.
Right.
They teach engagement and enlightenment, but they don't teach prophecy. Buddhism, Confucianism, it talks about enlightenment and illumination, but they don't address. Buddha prophesies about nothing. And even Islam, which does recognize prophets, their greatest prophet never prophesied anything.
Mm-hmm.
Muhammad never prophesied anything, so you can't even fact check him as a prophet because they never prophesied.
Exactly.
He's the greatest prophet who never prophesied. But the difference between us with the Bible is even in the life of Christ, there are 300 prophecies fulfilled by Christ's life and birth and death.
Mm-hmm.
No other spiritual book has prophecies fulfilled. They promise enlightenment. They promise illumination, but there is no prophecy. There is no God speaking and God doing. And you can check, you can fact check God. You can't fact check Buddha. You can't fact check Confucius. You can't fact check Muhammad.
We put that one to rest. Now, let's think about this. Why is it that leadership in America, whether they're presidents, senators, representatives, is there any relationship to the Bible? There's some believers.
This prayer.
That really do believe in the Bible. They pray, and they believe the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, leadership doesn't ever talk about the Bible. When's the last time you heard a president get up and talk about the Bible? Maybe Ronald Reagan?
George Bush Jr.
Yes. Okay. But the fact of the matter is, nowadays, I mean, it's almost like it's misuse or not being used at all. It's mocking. It's almost like a mocking spirit.
Well, there's a fear, Pastor Belly. There is a fear of offending those who don't believe in the reliability of the Bible.
Yeah.
We are more afraid of other religions being offended. But we don't mind offending Christians because Christians can take it, it seems. But there's this fear, like, I don't want to offend. Like, even the comments I just made about the Quran could be offensive to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because I'm saying that the greatest prophet in Islam never prophesied about anything, which is Quran true. It's true in their book. He doesn't prophesy, but he's the greatest prophet. He teaches, but he doesn't prophesy. He doesn't speak about things that will happen, and then there's proof that it happened.
Interesting.
This is an interesting conversation about the Bible, because ask yourself this question. On the one hand, there's intelligence that questions the veracity of the Bible, but there's also, Pastor Billy says, there's ignorance. I mean, it's not just leadership. There are pulpits that are ignorant of the Bible. The Bible's
not being used. Yeah, understanding the other religions, all that, we can put that to bed and to rest.
Yes.
Okay, but here we are in Christianity, even born-again believers, and their emphasis on the scriptures is so minute.
Yeah.
It's so sad, really. That's why Paul kept telling Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:7, let this, Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, but God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, love, power, and a sound mind. Now take that sound mind and 2:15 of 2 Timothy, study it.
Mm-hmm.
Take that studying and then learn in 2 Timothy 3:14. Take that learning and preach, teach, and reach. 2 Timothy 4:1-5. His emphasis in his last letter to Timothy is be a man of the book. Be a man of the book. What do countries need? Do they need more money? Do they need more of this or more of that? Or do they need more of the word? They need more of the word of God in spirit and in truth. Now, here's what Jesus said, by the way, about offend. Does this offend you? John 6, 60 through 68, specifically 666. Mm-hmm. Are you offended by what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Is it causing you to be scandalized or to trip up over something? Jesus would say things that would offend the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
The word of God is quick, 4:12 through 16. Mm-hmm. He would say that. Maybe you hear something that offends you on this program. I hope so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not going to apologize for it. Don't write me any email saying that was offensive, because I don't even listen to those things anyway. You know, I listen to something if you tell me something and I told something that was not a truth. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's amazing. And he said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and life. And then Peter made that great statement, to whom? He didn't say to where shall we go.
Sure.
Or to what shall we go? To whom? Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. To whom shall we go? You have to hold the words of eternal life. Mm-hmm. You have the words of eternal life. And this is what the Bible is.
Yeah.
And this is why the church should elevate and lift it up. Not we have a 2-hour service, and we have prayer, music, and 3 offerings, mm-hmm. and 15 minutes of the Bible. You know what?
Mm.
You people that are like that almost can almost be people that would prove that maybe man did come from monkey because he somehow acts like one sometimes. And yeah. I know he didn't. I'm just having fun. You know what? Really? Like, what do we have? Who is leading churches that have taken them away from the Bible? I wouldn't go to a church that didn't elevate the Bible.
Yeah.
They elevate these other things, and they sure. even elevate men
yeah.
over the Bible.
Yeah.
You know, this prophet, this person, he's an apostle. Oh, yeah. Really? From my understanding is that there were 12 apostles. One of them didn't make it. That was Judas. There was 11. Then there were people that were called apostles in the book of Acts. Paul, Barnabas was called that, and Paul and whatnot. But they were apostles with a small A, which means messengers that were sent.
Yes.
But these people walk around claiming they have apostolic authority, and what they say is from God.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you kidding?
Yeah.
What do you think? We were born yesterday? No, that's not what the scriptures teach.
But sadly, Pastor Shabelli, sadly, when I don't know the scriptures,
mm-hmm.
you can mislead me. We'd love to hear from you today on the Grace Hour. Call out, reach out to us, 1-800-338-7060 internationally, and you can reach us locally at 410-483-3700. You can also email us. We're on Facebook Live and YouTube Live and gracehour.org. We'd love to hear your questions and your comments about this theme. We're living in a generation in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, where the word of God is rare. Even in pulpits, the word of God is rare.
Rare. And that is very, it's actually sad
yeah.
and painful to see it and think to yourself, what's going on? And what will it be like 10, 20, 30 years from now if the Lord tarries? And when the Son of Man comes, he said this in Luke 18:8, will he find any faith on earth?
Yes.
You know what that says to me?
Mm.
No word. Because faith cometh by hearing,
yes.
hearing by the word of God. Mm-hmm. So if there's no faith, it means there's absolutely no word.
Yeah.
No word, no faith. So what goes on? When there's no word of God in a Christian's life or in a church, then there's no faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So think about it. No word, no faith, no pleasing God. There's 3 good points. No word, mm-hmm. no faith, God is not pleased.
Mm.
Oh, God loves me.
Yeah.
He's not always pleased with me when I don't live by the word of God and by faith. So no word, no faith, mm-hmm. God is not pleased. That's why how vital it is for us to be people who are receivers of the word.
Sure.
James 1:21 says, receive with meekness the engrafted and planted word, which can deliver your soul. Not salvation.
Yes.
My soul needs to be delivered, 1 Timothy 4:16.
Yeah.
You will save yourself and those who hear you. Doctrine, doctrine, teaching, teaching, preaching. Paul is telling him in 1 Timothy 4:11 through 16.
Yes.
And he said, you'll save yourself, you'll mm-hmm. be delivered yourself, and those who hear you will be delivered.
Yeah.
That means we need deliverance. We are saved, mm-hmm. but are we delivered on a daily basis? Man shall not live by bread alone.
That's right.
Daily, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Give us this day our
daily bread.
Daily bread. We need mm-hmm. the word on a daily basis.
And this is how you build your life. We talk about building our life with good habits and good Christian culture and right phraseology, but I have to settle it in my heart that mm-hmm. the Bible is fully inspired and is the complete word of God. There's evidences on the inside of the Bible and outside the Bible that testify to the veracity and the completeness of the Bible. And I have to trust the Bible because mm-hmm. in actuality, if not the Bible, I will live by my experience. I will live by my emotions or every persuasive guy. I think it's Ephesians 4:14. Every wind of doctrine that comes yeah. along without the Bible, I am going to be a spiritual wimp. The Bible's just going to, yeah. people just going to push me around because I don't know the truth. You can lie to me because I don't know the truth. We have a call we want to take from New York right now on the Grace Hour. Hi, sir.
Hello?
You're on the Grace Hour. How are you?
Not bad. Anyhow, I want to get to the chase here. I don't want to take too much time. I was thinking of a song I had heard years and years ago, and it was called, and the phrase was, "The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind." Now, I like the tune of that song, but I thought
he didn't believe the Bible, though. I know that man who wrote that song.
Yeah, well, they were. I guess you're dating yourself because I was a teenager when that song came out. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, I thought to myself, "Blowing in the wind, isn't that lovely?"
That's good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The answer for the natural man is blowing in the wind, and the wind. You know, guess what? The enemy brought up the wind in the boat situation.
Yes.
In Matthew 8:14. So their answer is blowing in the wind. Our answer is in the Word of God.
Yeah.
And every wind of doctrine that comes down that's contrary to the Bible, let it blow away.
I think, Lauren, I think you're right about that, is when I don't have something solid to stand on, my life looks like I'm just kind of blowing in the wind. I'm chasing something that I can't put my hands on, and I can't explain. So I've got to look for other ways and other means to describe my life, yeah. And I live my life from guess to guess to guess instead of from faith to faith to faith.
We have young people. I was talking to some today in Africa, and the children are raised up in the Word.
Yeah.
We have a lot of orphans, I think 364 orphans.
Yes.
in Africa. And the key is they are raised in a Christian home with a Christian school where they have the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
A Christian home, a Christian school, a Christian church, mm-hmm. with a Bible school.
Yep.
All those combinations work. Those are the orphans that I want to take in.
Sure.
That are going to be actually trained. We just sent two orphans to the country of Chad.
Mm-hmm.
They came in as orphans, and they were raised. They went to Bible school. They got married, and they're missionaries in Chad.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Word of God does. And I know you. I'm talking to you, and you know this very well, because you've been a part of really by participating and helping so much these orphans. And thank you for that. And we're training them so they are Word of God, and they are not orphans. They have a father in heaven, and they have a mother called the church.
Yep. But I like what you said there. In their life, they are taught from a young age that the Bible is true, the Bible is necessary, and the Bible is real to discover who God is, discover who I am, discover where I'm going, discover what is right, what is wrong. And more importantly, and this is what's happening in pulpits, the Bible's just become a book of morals of what to do wrong and what to do right, when it's really a guideline for my life. It's God's mind for my life. Every decision that I make, every path that I take, all my relationships, all my decisions, the Bible is God's mind guiding my life. It is, how can God give you his mind without the Bible?
Cannot.
Exactly.
Because his mind is in the Bible. Let this mind,
mm-hmm.
be in you that was in Christ Jesus. It's a decision. You have to let,
sure.
it. It's let this mind. It's up to you. You can either want to have the mind of God, 1 Corinthians 2:14-16,
mm-hmm.
or you can say, I've got my own mind. I've got my own way of doing things. And this is one of the big problems today. And so, when you think about this, you think about Christianity in China.
Yep.
You think about how many people and how the enemy kept the Bible from so many places, whether, mm-hmm. it was Africa, mm-hmm. China, South America, mm-hmm. Europe, Asia, mm-hmm. and to this day is still doing that.
Yep.
Hiding the Word of God, and that people can't get a Bible, can't get a Bible in their own language, in their own dialect. They cannot. And so it needs to be so clear to us that we need to pray and make that happen.
Sure.
I love those ministries that just go around producing, and their whole foundation is
Wycliffe Translators.
Wycliffe Translators.
YWAM does that as well.
People are producing the Bible,
yep.
yeah. And they're giving it away, and
yes.
many times for nothing, for
yep.
absolutely zero.
Door-to-door,
yeah.
YWAM just did a program in Asia, Nepal actually. They walked into a village and gave every member of the village a Bible in their own language. 5,000
yeah.
people.
Wow.
Just gave them all a Bible. Amazing. Putting the Bible in people's hands and letting and having them understand that they can trust the Bible. The biggest, mm-hmm. question in this generation concerning the Bible is not that the Bible is the Word of God, but can I trust that it's the Word of God? Can I believe it's the Word of God? And can I build my life on the Word of God? That's the huge question today.
And you know what happens? Sometimes you'll see
a man of God, a man of the book, fail.
Yes.
And they'll use that as an opportunity to try to refute that the word of God is true.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Really? Look at this man of God and what he did. Listen, people are sinners saved by grace.
Exactly.
They make mistakes. Moses murdered an Egyptian.
Mm-hmm.
David killed Uriah the Hittite.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we see people making mistakes. Peter denied the Lord. We can see things happening where he had problems with Gentiles
mm-hmm.
In Galatia.
Right.
All right? So we're not sinless.
Right.
We are sinners saved by grace,
okay.
saved by the word. So you cannot use the failure of a man of God or a woman of God and use that to say the Bible's not true. No, the man or the woman
yep.
made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the Bible says something else. There's mercy
That's
that
right.
rejoices over judgment.
Mm-hmm.
They've got in James 2:13, God will give them mercy. That same book says that.
Mm-hmm.
How come they never read that part?
Oh, you know what? When I indict you, I liberate myself, right?
Yeah.
What's that verse in Romans chapter 3, verse 8? You do evil that your good may be seen.
Yeah.
Romans 2:15, you accuse and excuse. You accuse your brother so you can excuse yourself.
Uh-huh.
But the big thing, is, like you said, is like people use they take the Bible and they use the failure of men to fail the Bible. They say, well, the Bible's unreliable because look at the lives of Christians. That's like saying the Constitution's unreliable. Look at the lives of Americans. No one's saying the Constitution's wrong. They're saying Americans break the law, but it doesn't mean the law is broken, right? Any more than Christians sin, but the Bible's not broken.
Right, right. Absolutely.
You can't indict God based on the behavior of men.
But this is all the enemy's tactics.
Sure.
See, the enemy's tactics are to do everything he can to take away
mm-hmm.
from the truth that the Bible is God's word
mm-hmm.
and therefore remove its authority.
Mm.
And then that's what takes place. So he hates the Bible. You see it from Genesis to Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
You see it from, I mean, he tried to the word was crucified,
uh-huh.
but rose again.
Yes.
You know? And so really, and the word of God. And you can see, you know, a lot of people don't have any power over evil because they have no word of God authority in the scriptures.
Okay.
They have no authority. I've seen evil in action. There's evil, by the way, the evil in a sophisticated society is much more difficult to handle than the outward evidences of evil you see in some primitive cultures. Because when you see something visible, you know that's the devil.
Right.
But when the enemy works his way into the education system, he works his way into politics, he works his way into the church,
mm-hmm.
he works his way into orthodoxy, he works his way in, and he's not discerned because strong meat,
mm-hmm.
Hebrews 5:11-14, belongs to them who are of full age, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern or distinguish that which is good and that which is evil. The word of God is what gives you discernment.
Wow.
If you have no word of God, you cannot distinguish what's of God and what's not of God.
There it
is. You'll call good evil, and you'll call evil good. You'll make mistakes. You know, so I remember counseling somebody, and I told them, the Bible is very clear about marrying an unsaved person. And that's what you're doing. Oh, but I love him and he loves me. And
mm-hmm.
and I think if I marry him, he'll get saved. You know what happened? The guy became an alcoholic and ended up beating her up.
Wow.
You know what? And then she ended up in a mental institution.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? The Bible says if you're saved, you should not
mm-hmm.
be dating or be around or marry an unsaved person.
Right.
I mean, that's what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
What fellowship does light have with darkness?
Well, that's the question. When I look at my life and I'm making choices and the Bible takes a different position, the authority of the scriptures comes into the
mm-hmm.
room. And let me ask you a question. Let's say I'm a believer. And I'm saved, but I have I have problems with the authority of the Bible.
Uh-huh.
I see it as has truth, but then when it comes against me, I struggle with trusting the Bible to be true, to be the authority. How do I grow with that?
Well, first of all, the Bible gives you, the Word of God is living, and it gives you a capacity to respond to it.
Okay.
If I'm going to try to respond to the truth of the Bible in an area that really is contrary to how I'm living, then I can't do that. I say, I can't do that. I can't stop drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible says wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stop, but the Holy Spirit can stop drinking, and the Holy Spirit can stop you from drinking,
mm-hmm.
and the Word of God written by the Holy Spirit can change you. So God will create a capacity in you for the change that would take place in any area that you're talking about.
Mm.
But we are viewing all these things that maybe the Bible says that we should do or should not do, and we're looking at it like we have the ability to perform that
action, and we cannot. It's God himself who will do it. It's the new man. Can the new man obey the Bible written by the Spirit?
Yes.
Absolutely, yes. Can the old man? Yes, he can externally mm-hmm. at times mm-hmm. obey the Bible, okay? He can obey the Bible externally, but there's no inward life.
Mm.
There's no fruit of the Spirit. So they're looking at some of the things that the Bible says, and they say, no. I like living with this woman who I'm not married to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I love her. She loves me. What's a piece of paper mean? Well, what does the Scripture teach about marriage? Okay,
right.
This is the important thing. So you won't get married. Why is that?
Mm.
Why is that? You know, what have you received that has deceived you? See, watch this. Wrong reception brings in deception.
Hmm.
I'm receiving from wrong sources.
Okay.
This is the key. The word apate in the Greek for deception,
yep.
one of the words that's used, a false impression given by word or influence or a wrong life. And I get deceived. And I think this is okay. I mean, 900, you know what Jim Jones, if you remember him.
I do.
You know what he said years ago, if you remember the tragedy that happened at Jonestown.
Yep, James.
He told everybody, 900 people in church, get rid of your Bible. You don't need it anymore.
Yeah.
I will tell you what God says and what God thinks.
Yep.
And they did it, and they all perished.
Yeah.
Sad to say.
Yeah.
They all perished because they threw away the Scriptures for the authority of a man. And this is dangerous. Like some people throw away the Scriptures for the authority of some head of a church organization.
Yeah.
I won't name any names,
okay.
But you know what I'm talking about.
I do.
The head of some apostle, some
yes,
pope,
I get
some
you.
Cardinal, some this or some that,
yeah.
or some bishop.
Right.
And they throw away the Bible, and the man gets up and says, it's okay to smoke dope. It's okay to smoke pot. Somebody said that to me one time. You can smoke pot because God, the Bible says God's given you every living thing, everything green. I said, "Go. Why don't you go roll in poison ivy for about a day or two and tell me how it feels?" You know what? Misinterpretation.
But you said it right. You said, "If I don't build my life, if I can't trust the Bible to build my life, I will trust something else mm-hmm. to build my life." And when I trust something, you say, "Okay, Pastor, I can't trust the Bible. Then what will you trust?" And can
yeah.
you trust what you trust? Because buy this truth and sell it not in Proverbs 23:23. Can you trust it? I want to remind everybody that's writing in and calling us. We're talking today about how can I know the Bible's reliable? Can we build our lives on the Bible? So we'd love to hear from you online, YouTube, Facebook, gracehour.org. Can we build our lives on the Bible? Because as Pastor Billy just said, if not the Bible, then what will I build my life on? Every day, every decision, every thought, every statement, every place that I go, I am building something. Every day of my life, every moment of my life, I am building something. Isaiah 26:3 says, God waters our life moment by moment. He uses the Bible to build our lives. God gave us the Bible to be built and to build. But I will say this to you. If the Bible is not building your life, if you're not building your life on the Bible, you're also building other people on something else, and you're leading people into error. It cannot just be a book of moral obligations and rules, and it cannot just be a religion, but the Bible is alive and the Bible has power. The very word authority, exousia, speaks of power. The Bible is power in your life. Isaiah 55, right? The word
Absolutely.
Does not return void.
My thoughts, and by the way, God says that my thoughts are not your thoughts
mm-hmm.
and my ways are not your ways.
Mm.
In other words, if you have wrong thinking, your ways are wrong.
Wow.
That's as simple as that. Isaiah 55:8-10. And he says, you know, it comes down from above.
Mm-hmm.
Like tonight we're going to have a Bible college class. Everybody's welcome, 6 to 8.
Sure.
We're going to talk about the person of Christ and the work of Christ. And the emphasis will be on the Bible. The person of Christ is the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And the finished work word, having a Word of God
mm-hmm.
Life. And so here's what we have. We have people refusing the authority of the Word of God because they've accepted some other authority.
Mm-hmm.
Here's that other authority. It's their old sin nature,
mm-hmm.
themselves,
mm-hmm.
you know, the enemy, the world system. There's authorities out there. Demons have authority, and the devil has authority in a certain realm.
Sure.
And we enter into that, into the realm of evil. That's where authority is. And so he's doing everything he can to remove God's word,
sure.
which removes God's mind, which removes God's thinking, which removes God's thoughts.
And this is so important that mm-hmm. we be people of the Word. We start by receiving the Word.
Right.
And then we meditate upon the Word.
Mm-hmm.
And then we begin to mix faith with the Word.
Right.
And then into our subconscious mind is the Word.
Mm-hmm.
And we build patterns of thinking in our lives.
Yes.
See, people need patterns of thinking. We have all kinds of patterns of thinking in the old sin nature.
Okay.
We do think, I mean, you don't even think about getting dressed in the morning. You just do it.
Yeah.
Right? You don't think, you don't sit back and say, okay, I'm going to open my mouth and try to figure out like every tooth I'm going to, you just brush your teeth, you know?
Right.
It's a pattern. How you drive a car. Remember when you first drove a car, every little thing was troubling to you. Every little thing frightened you.
Yes.
Every little thing brought anxiety. Now you just get in your car and drive.
Yes.
Because you've developed over the course of years a pattern of thinking. And this is what doctrine is. This is what the mind of God is. I don't need just to read the Bible in one aspect, but I need to study the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Paul said to Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman,
mm-hmm.
okay? A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Yeah.
So there's this amazing fellowship, there's studying the Bible, and then there's the work of the Bible in a person's life.
Okay.
But he's telling us, study the Bible, spudazo, make every effort.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's interesting. Make every effort to be a person who goes after the Word. I'm not saying you walk around with the Bible in your hand, reading it at the bus stop or reading it all day long, don't even talk to human beings. But I'm talking about there's a time that I'm going to set apart for the Word of God. This is so important. Do people do that? Do I do that? I need to do that every single day. I need to do that. Oh, yes, it might mean getting up early.
Yep.
Oh, wow. By the way, go to sleep earlier. There's nothing. What are you watching from 9 to 11? Nonsense.
We live in a 24-hour cycle. God. And it started with news. News became 24 hours.
Yeah.
The internet became 24 hours. We became 24 hours. But you made a good point. If I am struggling with trusting the Bible, if I am struggling with the reliability of the Bible, if I am asking myself, can I build my life on this book? The answer to that is in the book.
Yeah.
As you get into the book, the internal evidence of the Bible persuades me of the variety,
yes.
the veracity, and the necessity of the Bible. People that question the Bible don't study the Bible.
Right, that's why they question it.
Exactly.
They don't study it. Yeah.
People that say you can't trust the Bible, have you read it? I argued with a Hindu guy in the University of Pretoria, South Africa, for an hour. And he said he just starts destroying the Bible. I said, have you ever read it? Have you ever opened the book? No, I've just heard. So you're living on gossip about a book you've never read. You have nothing else to say to me. You haven't even opened the book. It's amazing.
We have a lot of comments there. Is it me?
It's you. We have a few. I'll read a few of those. Loretta Carter says, amen, amen. The holy word of God is my spiritual food. Can't live without it. Can't breathe without it. My living hope. Thea Green says, with faith, we have the authority of God's word. Without faith, we have no authority. We get blown, changed in our minds by every wind of doctrine. I'm easily persuaded by what the world thinks because I'm born in the world. What a waste of our mind. NG says, Father, forgive me for following wrong influences. David Norwood says, if we give our name and number off air. Okay, no, that's about. Every day we're building something. Yes, every day we're building something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm either building towers that stand tall without God or arcs that float with God. One or the other. What else we have? A lot of the comments are one word comments. Wow. Absolutely. My God.
Truth.
More or less.
Truth.
The key, you said it on the head. The key is the Bible itself is the greatest proof of the reliability of the Bible. Its impact.
It's here today.
Its impact on your life. It's direction for your life. It's guidance for your life. The way it speaks to you, the way it fulfills itself with prophecy is the only major book in any religion that fulfills itself. It says A and then tells you that it's done. It says B and says that that's prophetic. It's legitimately prophetic, which is why the Bible is still the most read book in the world. It's still the most stolen book in the world. The most sold book in the world. The most translated book in the world. The very veracity of its permanence should speak to you about its trustworthiness. But in the book is the ability to trust the Word of God in the Bible.
How about these people that say they follow and worship Jesus, but they never read the Bible. Then what is who is this Jesus you are following? In other words, like yes. he's defined, they who worship John 4, 20 through 24
yeah.
must. Mm-hmm. The word is DEI in the Greek. Mm-hmm. It is a necessity in the nature of the case. Those who worship must worship in spirit mm-hmm. and in truth. And the Father seeks such to worship him. Mm. See, God is looking for people who will worship saying the scriptures and through the spirit. Like, you know, did you ever read this? People call it like our worship service is at 10 o'clock. Really? I mean, I don't know. I'm not so sure what that actually means. How can it be a worship service if it's not spirit and truth? If the Bible is not really proclaimed and elevated as the key, mm-hmm. the central aspect. I mean, Luther saw the Bible as the central. Wesley, Luther, all these men of God, Moody, down through the days and the ages, in our even our own country. Mm. It was the Bible, the Word of God.
Sure.
You know, it's amazing, too, how the enemy from the beginning has always tried to lie about it and steal it.
Yep.
To take it away. Steal it and keep doing that and continue to do so. He maybe has even more sophisticated ways of doing it.
Sure.
Now, you know?
Lies upon lies. He's the father of lies. In John 8:44, we are building our life on the Word of God. True. We are trusting the Word of God. We are leaning into the Word of God because we're different because of the Word of God. And can I trust the Bible? Yes, you can. Can you build your life on the Bible? Yes, you can. Will the Bible build your life? Instead of you trying to build your life on the Scriptures, let the Scriptures build your life and you'll be different because of the Bible. You'll know God because of, how can you say you follow Jesus Christ and you don't read the Bible? Where did you get the information from about him? It had to be the Bible. So the Bible's where you learn about who God is and who you are. So as we close the program this afternoon, we want to encourage you, get into your book in 2 Timothy 2:15. Be a hearer of the Bible in Romans 10:17. The entrance of his word gives light and understanding to the simple. And here on the Grace Side, we want to encourage you to be readers and believers and followers of the Word of God. Thank you so much for this week for joining us as we talk about building the Bible. We'll see you next week at this very same time. God bless you.